Welcome to the Women in Maintenance podcast, a place where women in maintenance share their stories. I'm your host, Caitlin Young-Gilbert, CMRP. I'm the Chief of Staff of Upkeep and founder of the maintenance community over at upkeep.org. Each episode, I'll be meeting with female leaders in maintenance to discuss their career journeys and share best practices to help other women within the maintenance community thrive. Today, I'm super excited to welcome my friend, Sonia, to the show. Welcome, Sonia.
Thank you for having me, Caitlin. I'm very, very excited to be here. You know, huge supporter of TMC and especially women in maintenance and reliability.
Sonia Mathura is an entrepreneur based in Trinidad and Tobago with a passion for adding value to the industry through strategic reliability solutions. Funnily enough, I think that's also the name of your company, isn't that right?
It is.
Sonia is also a strong advocate for women in STEM and a published author with a couple more books on the way. I can't wait to get into that a little bit more, Sonia. And while she has her bachelor's degree in electrical and computer engineering, after getting into the lubrication industry, she fell in love with reliability and pursued her master's in engineering asset management. Welcome again, Sonia. So excited to learn from you today.
Oh, yeah. It's going to be epic, Caitlin. Epic.
Let's start the show and have you tell me a little bit more about you, your background, and how you were introduced to the field of maintenance and reliability.
Oh boy. So interestingly enough, we started off with, you know, telling everyone that I do have my bachelor's in electrical and computer engineering. So yes, I coded for some time behind a black screen and I did some electrical and computer engineering. And then I had an opportunity to work as a technical person for Shell Lubricants in Trinidad and Tobago. And I definitely remember the interview, going for the interview. I think I was 23 at the time. I was young back then, right? Yeah. And then the guy told me, he's like, Sonia, everybody who's been in here for this interview, they are male and they are a lot older. So the two things you have going against you, you're female and you're young. Like, but I can't change that. I'm sorry there, you know, there's nothing I can do about that. But then he said, you know what? Those two things can actually work for you. I know that you're young, you're willing to learn, you're female, you're going to bring something different to the field. So, you know, he gave me that opportunity and I'm very grateful for him doing that. Because once I got into the lubrication industry, I started to learn more about reliability. And learning about reliability and how everything just came together. It was just the holistic picture of everything, you know, just bringing it all into one. That's when I fell in love with it. And that's afterwards I did my MSc in engineering asset management because, you know, I want to know a little bit more. Of course, we always want to know a little bit more. And after doing that, I was doing my thesis. And while doing my thesis, I am always about quality. Right. And you know, Caitlin, you know this about me, right? I was like, the work that I was producing wasn't the quality that I'm accustomed producing. And I'm like, I'm leaving this corporate job. I'm going to sit down. I'm going to focus on this thesis and get it done. Even though I don't have another job lined up, I'm going to take some time, figure this out and get it done. And while doing the thesis, that's when, you know, I started reaching out to a lot more people in lubrication. And I'm like, what if I have to reach out to so many different people? You know, somebody else may want to be doing that as well. Why not have one place where everybody can, you know, sort of join forces together, be like, you know, the Avengers in one vision, you know, one vision, the Avengers of, you know, reliability. And that's how I got the name Strategic Reliability Solutions Limited, because that's what I wanted. Because I'm like, okay, yes, we can bring that together. We can have everything in one place. And within the Caribbean, it's difficult to find that. Like when you're dealing with a lot of different suppliers and all of these great things, you know. So that's how the company started. And that's a little bit of my background. So while my background is strongly engineering and, you know, I have my background in lubrication, it's also about being a female engineer entrepreneur. But you don't see those three words in the same sentence very often.
Yes. And I know that something that's very important to you is bringing people together, especially underserved voices in our industries. Okay. So I'm curious from your viewpoint, you know, how can we help other women get into maintenance and reliability fields?
Oh my gosh. I think the first thing, like, always believe in yourself. Never compromise that. Always believe in yourself. Know your worth. Don't look for that external validation. Because a lot of people, they're like, you know, only if somebody says that I can do this, then I can do this. No. You want to do it, you can get it done. Just jump right in and jump into maintenance and reliability. Because I didn't have that background before, but getting into it is such a wonderful feel because you understand how everything works. Everything is part of something else. And the good thing about maintenance and reliability is that you have that support. I don't know if it's like that in any of the other sectors, like from the other sectors that I've worked in, you know, they're like, yeah, okay, we hear what you're saying, but no. But you always have that community with maintenance and reliability. And being female in that community, it means that you're going to have some support, of course. And, you know, feel free to reach out to Caitlin or I anytime that you need that support. But definitely take your time, get into the field. A lot of people, a lot of women within these fields, they think they need to be certified first. Because, yes, and I've come up against it time and time again. Like, people, they're like, okay, well, are you certified? What certifications do you have? Let me know about your background. Because I remember in one training, a guy was like, I'm not listening to you until you tell me your background. And I'm like, are you sure you want me to do that? You know, are you sure? But yes, I need to know, because I need to know if my technical questions are going to be answered. And I'm like, are you sure you want me to do that? And then he's like, yes, you have to. And I said everything. And he had no more questions for the entire session. So I'm like, you were sure, right? You were sure you wanted to hear that. Because that's one of the things when you talk about your certifications. And one of the things I always do whenever I do training sessions, it depends on your clients as well, just for other women in maintenance. Sometimes they need to know your background. And sometimes you don't let on your background. So I would start a presentation and just go through the material and really talk to the audience and let them hear and let them understand. And then they're like, this person knows what they're talking about. I can listen to them. Yeah. And yeah, and there are times that people are like, oh, she's an engineer. And they have this preconceived notion in their mind. I'm not going to listen to anything that she says, you know, when they have titles associated. So sometimes when I do presentations, I skip my background. I skip that slide. I put it to the end or something. And I just leave it there because sometimes you need to break down those barriers before you get to talk to them. So just one small piece of advice there.
Yeah, I'm hearing it's all about confidence. Like certifications can give you a sense of that, but it's not required. And it's all about making sure that you're confident in knowing what you know and ready to present on it. And so I heard a few of the challenges you've had in the industry and how you've handled them. I'm curious if there are anything else growing up in this industry.
Oh my gosh. So I basically grew up in the industry because I started when I was 23. And I remember going out there and they're like, you're young enough to be my granddaughter. Not daughter, granddaughter. And I'm like, okay, well, that's nice. That's interesting. But you always get this. A lot of times we're working in this very male dominated industry. And I remember going to one of those plants, those industrial plants, and they had an issue with lubrication. And there were like 14 engineers in the room, all bigger than me, you know, in size, of course, because, you know, I'm tiny, you know, louder than me. And they went around the table asking questions to me to validate that I could answer. It's like basic questions because they're trying to assess in their mind, does this person really know what they're talking about, you know? And you will come across that. People will ask you basic questions to sort of gauge where your knowledge is at. And one of the things with that is you struggle to get your voice heard, you struggle to get your point across because they're still trying to figure out, do I really want to listen to her? Am I making up my mind about her before she even starts to talk? So one of the things I've realized, and one of the things that helps a lot, is asking questions. And people may think, why are you going to ask questions? They're asking the questions, you know? But if you know the answer already, and you start asking questions to get them to think along the line of the answer, they have the light bulb moments. And if they have the light bulb moments, they remember that they have the light bulb moments. If I tell them the answer, they're like, okay, well, yeah, that doesn't make sense. But if you probe them along the lines for them to figure it out, that's what helps. And then they, you know, they remember and they're like, oh yeah, she knows what she's talking about. She knows how to get me to think. So it's all about that thought process. And like, one of the things, like, it's starting to bridge that gap. So helping them to break down the barriers that they have in their mind, you know, they're like, okay, well, females, they may not know what they're talking about. So
right.
if we start changing that culture just by going out and, you know, having these conversations, then we can change that for people, other women in the future, other women in the field, you know, because they're right. Like, okay, yeah. So it starts with having those good conversations.
What I'm hearing is, you know, push through. If you're feeling like people are doubting you or you're starting to doubt yourself, just continue to bring value, right? Yes. And with that, people's doubts will melt away. Your doubts in yourself will melt away as long as you're focused on doing your best and bringing value. Mm-hmm. And then it's what I'm hearing, yes, and I'm hearing on the opposite, however we can push individuals in our industries to, I don't know, question those biases they might have, to question, you know, the thoughts they're having, because this probably isn't every experience you've had where you've been questioned like that, but it is your lived experience. And so, you know, knowing that and knowing that people don't have bad intentions, they just, you know, some things are different and new and it takes time. And so I think I'm hearing two sides. One, as underrepresented voices, keep providing value, keep having faith. And then on the flip side, for our allies who've been in the industry a long time and are seeing these different voices and people coming in, you know, support them, trust them, and welcome them in is what I'm hearing. Yes,
start making that change because we're all here to learn, you know, at the end of the day. We're all here to solve the same problem. So let's work together and we'll actually solve it.
Speaking of bringing people together to solve problems, you just wrapped a huge project, being one of the organizers of the Global Virtual Conference, Lubrication and Reliability Virtual Summit, LRVS for short.
Oh, yes.
What was that experience like?
It was amazing, Caitlin. Like, starting off, just being able to work with Josh on this, because Josh is the chairman, you know, like, even though I said that we arm wrestled for fighting to get Ryan's, being the moderator for Ryan's, you know, keynotes, and I won, totally won. But he has been amazing, like supporting and being open. And that's what I loved working with LRVS, like being open to new ideas. I'm like, we should get more women in here. He's like, yes, let's do that. So I want more diversity in the topics. That's bringing stuff in leadership. Said, yes, let's do that. You know, I didn't get the pushback. You know, being open, being objective, that's what it's about. Trying to create a holistic community. That's what I loved about LRVS. You know, we were able to bridge so many time zones, because I think one of the hardest things with that project was trying to figure out, okay, this guy in Australia is going to be presenting. It's going to be 11 p.m. film. We cannot put him here in this schedule. We have to, you know, move them around. So I think the hardest part was just getting those time zones, being able to accommodate as many people as possible, and making sure they had a good time. Like, that was the main thing. I just wanted to make sure that they had a good time. They got a lot of value out of it. Everybody was, you know, they came away with something at the end of the day. So that was one of the main aspects of it.
Well, I'll say I was one of the presenters at
Yes,
LRVS,
yes.
and I had a wonderful time. You and I actually joined forces for a diversity panel.
Oh
And,
my
you know,
gosh, yes.
I learned a ton from that experience. As you mentioned, there were leaders from around the world joining us. What were some things you learned from that chat?
Oh my gosh. First of all, I learned that we, even though we may be in different parts of the world, there are similar experiences with all of us on a global scale. So just taking that into consideration and thinking, if we're all facing challenges like this, what are we doing globally to impact on it? What are we doing to help, you know, future women in STEM, future boys in STEM? Because that was one of the things that came up, you know. It's not just about getting more women in STEM, it's about getting more people in STEM on a whole. Because it's an industry that we don't see a lot of people go in. So it's not the, you know, I want to be in that industry, you know, the go-to industry. You know, everybody wants to launch a spacecraft at some point, but, you know, definitely getting them involved, getting them more active in that, being able to make that change. And one of the things that I absolutely loved about the panel was the support that we were getting on the sidelines. We had so many people, so many guys in the chat, and they're like, yes, I want my daughter to be in STEM. You know, how can I do that? And the conversation is there. They're ready for that conversation. They're ready for that change. They're ready to say, how can I help? You know, so I loved that part of it. And it was such a great learning experience.
Thank you so much for sharing. I was also just so happy watching the chat during that panel and just seeing how much support people had, how many people were asking, how can I help? How can I be part of it? It was really a heartwarming experience, to be honest.
It was. It definitely was.
Is there anything else you're currently working on that you want to share with the wider community?
Oh boy. So Caitlin, you know, I'm always working on something, all right? Something or another. Right now, I'm actually working on a book with empowering women in STEM. So CRC Press actually approached me earlier this year and they're like, we want you to help lead this book on empowering women in STEM. It should be about different women, what they've experienced, how can we help other women in STEM? And they're like, don't be afraid to get male authors involved. And I'm like, oh my gosh, I have like five at the top of my head that I know they're ready for this, totally ready for this. And they want to join in on this. And it's been amazing so far. The stories that we've collected, like I read one yesterday, US Department of Defense, you know, engineering, his background is engineering. He talks about how he can help other women who are in engineering because they get into the aviation industry, they get into the military, and there are times that they experience certain things like just the facilitator or the teacher thinking that she's female, I don't need to explain this to her. But he said he took the time to explain it to them and they were so grateful and they were so appreciative of it. And they told him, you know, you have no idea how much of a difference you've made. And he said, if you can just do that for two people, you know, imagine what we can all do for everybody else. And we're talking military standard right now. So translating that across the industry, I got another submission with very powerful woman CEO, and she said, I wanted to start off with engineering and whatnot, but I had a family before that. You know, I had to manage, I had to be able to do working part-time, being able to go to school, being able to start my own company, and she works in power engineering. So, oh my gosh, you know, a lot of props to her. So we have amazing stories coming in. So I just want to say, if anybody else is out there and they're listening and you want to get in contact with me and you want to share your story, we're still accepting some submissions. I know Caitlin will help me also getting in contact later. So just, you know, I'm happy to help share your story.
Perfect. We'll make sure your contact information is in the show notes today. And Great. That leads me to my last question, which is how can our listeners get a hold of you, connect with you, learn from you?
I'm always on LinkedIn. If you haven't figured that out yet, I'm always on LinkedIn. And I'm also in the TMC Slack group. So you can always message me there as well. We run the lubrication and reliability channel in there. There's always stuff going on there. We're always talking about lubrication and reliability and our TMCs. You know, just they were a huge part of LRVS and they were on the leaderboard in the game that we had. You know, we had quite a few of them and I was so happy. You know, I'm like, yes, we have some TMCs in here. So definitely any of those channels.
Wonderful. I've never, ever had a problem getting hold of you, Sonia. You're always always available online. Well, that's it for us. Thank you again, Sonia, for joining us. And
welcome.
And thank you, listeners, for tuning in to today's episode of Women in Maintenance. From Los Angeles, I'm Caitlin. You can connect with me on LinkedIn under Caitlin Young Gilbert. And as Sonia mentioned, we are both in the Maintenance Community Slack group. Feel free to ask us any follow-up questions from today's episode or suggest future topics. Mm-hmm. Sign up at upkeep.org. Hope to connect with you all soon. Until next time. Bye.
Bye.